Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast, coming to you live on this 10th of July, 2018. We are live here on YouTube. We'll put this podcast later on Blog Talk Radio as well. Again, no call number tonight. Again, this podcast will be on Blog Talk Radio. We'll put it on there maybe, you know, in a couple hours or so. You'll see it'll be on there before the end of the day. As always, you can find us at, you can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or follow me on Instagram at Rillo Gerald Quinn. Just a few of the number of places you can find me and find this number of platforms that you can find this program. Busy program for July as we near the All-Star break in terms of baseball. That's when there will be the deadest time in sports, this time next week during the All-Star break, when you will have none of the four major sports in action all at the same time. So, you know, that's when people mainly do a lot of their vacationing, and perfect time to vacation. But we begin this program with the Spurs. I want to say the San Antonio Spurs will begin this program because I think it's the end of the Spurs. As sad as it sounds for basketball fans, especially for Spurs fans, you know, Tony Parker signs a 2-year deal with Charlotte. You see what's going on with Kawhi Leonard. You know, they had 22 years where they were near or at the top of the NBA. I think. No, I can see Greg Popovich leaving maybe even before 2020. Everybody's saying that 2020 is going to be a year where he's finished, and especially and he takes over for, of course, Team USA, replacing Mike Krzyzewski. But I think this possibly could be the last year for Greg Popovich. And you think about it, it would make perfect sense to go out this year. Considering that he's 69 years old, number one. He's been coaching a long time. And to be honest with you, at what point, if you're Greg Popovich, do you say to yourself, you know, why continue to put up with this? You're gonna lose Kawhi Leonard. Either you're gonna lose him via trade or free agency next summer. That ship has sailed. And if you're Greg Popovich, do you really want to rebuild through, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge and, you know, DeJuanje Murray and guys like that? I mean, do you really, is that how you want to end your career as the head coach of the San Antonio Spurs? I don't think so. So it would be a perfect time for Greg Popovich to go out, a perfect time not to try to hang on, a perfect time, you know, you can see Parker going to Charlotte, you can see Ginobili retiring, and Popovich walking away from San Antonio after this year. And you think about the run that they've had over the past 22 years, it really is one of the most remarkable runs in the history of sports. You think about it, to be that great for that level of consistency for that long of a period of time, it's just unheard of. You know, you can compare a team like the Detroit Red Wings in hockey, even though they haven't made the playoffs for the past couple of years, but they had a long run. During their heyday, three Stanley Cups. I want to say 97, 98, and 2002. So they won like three Stanley Cups during that time. Were always a contender, had great players, Hall of Famers throughout. But the San Antonio run has really been remarkable. When in the NBA, how hard it is to stay on top in the NBA for that long of a period. You know, eventually, I don't care if you're the Celtics, if you're the Lakers, eventually your franchise is going to fall off. And how ironic that the thing that ends the San Antonio Spurs is something that they have stayed away from the most part for the better part of the last two decades, and that is controversy within the organization. And that's what's going to end them. I mean, this Kawhi Leonard thing, listen, you can talk about Kawhi all you want, and listen, I don't agree with how Kawhi has handled this as far as just not speaking. Like, dude, you have to say something. Like, you can't have your representatives, your uncles, your quote unquote your yes men, you know, speaking up for you. You gotta speak up for yourself. If you don't like San Antonio, just come out and say, hey, I don't, you know, this is where I'm at in my career. It's been a great, 6 or 7 years here. It's time to move on and move forward. But you have to come out and say something, Kawhi Leonard. Yeah, like, you can't sit up here and allow other people to speak for you. But when you think about it, what this does, what it will do to their franchise, I mean, they were banking on Kawhi Leonard taking the reins from Tim Duncan as the next franchise type player. The guy who is the best perimeter defensive player since Scottie Pippen. I think even a better perimeter defensive player than Scottie Pippen. A guy who has MVP caliber talent. Is a legit top three player when healthy. And, you built team, it could be another 15, 20, 30 years before they get a player of that magnitude in terms of San Antonio. I mean, these guys just don't grow on trees. These guys who are franchise caliber players, guys who are MVP caliber players. Those guys, those guys just, I don't care how much talent is in the NBA, you just don't find those guys every day. And to lose a guy like that at the age of 27, right in the middle of his prime, is something that your franchise just doesn't recover from. I don't care who they get back for him in terms of the trade. Now, there have been talks about now Toronto is possibly a trade, could be a trade partner because of DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan is not Kawhi Leonard. And I would not make that trade. Again, I still expect the trade to be with the Los Angeles Lakers. I think it will be just a matter of time before that trade does happen. I know the Lakers have been talking tough, but I think they're just, waiting this thing out, seeing if, the longer this waits, the longer this goes along, the lesser the offer the Lakers have to make or any other team has to make to get Kawhi Leonard. So his value goes down the longer this this thing goes along, and the longer they continue to wait. But I think it's the end of the Spurs. I mean, getting back to Tony Parker to Charlotte, I don't understand. I understand Tony Parker wanted to pick up a quick $10 million for 2 years. I get that. You could never have enough money. If you're a player, especially a guy who, doesn't have a lot of endorsements in terms of Tony Parker, so, hey, what the heck? You get $10 million to just, basically not be the guy on the team, not probably play a lot of minutes, not be in the playoffs. So you're not going to be pushing your body. So, that's good for Tony. But as far as Charlotte goes, that move makes zero sense. Like, Tony's not going to be grooming Kemba Walker, who's going to be a free agent next year anyway. Tony's not going to put you over the top if you're trying to make the playoffs or trying to win a championship. So I just don't understand, that move. But again, Michael Jordan, though the greatest player of all time, as a owner, general manager, as somebody who's calling shots, we know Michael Jordan has been mediocre and that's putting it kindly in terms of how he's ran that franchise. So from that standpoint, the move makes perfect sense. The fact that Michael Jordan is running the franchise and basically has ran that franchise, frankly, into the ground. Like, they haven't done anything under his leadership since he became owner a few years back. So don't understand that move. Again, I think the Spurs, I'm going to look back on the Spurs reign as, again, one of the great accomplishments in the history of professional sports, in terms of how long they were dominant, how consistent they were, and for the most part, with no fuss outward or inward. But again, very ironic that the thing that's going to do them in is the thing that they've stayed away from for the better part of the last 20 years, and that is basically a player, a big time Hall of Fame caliber player with, in terms of Hall of Fame caliber talent, doing them in terms of just not wanting to be there, Now, again, if you're Kawhi Leonard, you got to speak up. You have to speak up. Speak for yourself. Don't allow other people to speak for you. Be a man from that standpoint. Again, it seems like it is the beginning of the end for this great, proud franchise, the San Antonio Spurs. Other things going on with the NBA over the weekend, and I put this on Facebook as far as Carmelo Anthony goes. And again, we're not calling him Melo. When you are at the stage of your career where you are a glorified role player. You don't have any nicknames. Your nickname days are over. So he is Carmelo Anthony. If I knew his middle name, I would say his middle name. Carmelo Anthony, you don't want Carmelo Anthony anywhere near your team. I don't care if your team is a championship contender. I don't care if your team is a team that's rebuilding for the future. This guy doesn't fit any team known to man, as far as I'm concerned. He's a guy that's still an isolation player. He's a guy who still can't accept the fact that you are a role player. You are a glorified role player. And the guy, he could be if he had the right attitude and had the right mindset, he could be a very effective role player. He could be a guy that come off the bench, get you, you know, 12 to 15 points. He can get, you know, play 25 to 30 minutes. And depending on the situation, depending on how well he played, could be a guy that can close games. But his mentality right now is that he is still Carmelo Anthony, Olympian. He's still Carmelo Anthony, you know, 25, 24 points per game scored, all-star. That mentality is not going to change anytime soon. And I wouldn't – listen, if I'm the Houston Rockets, I wouldn't touch Carmelo Anthony with a 20-foot pole. There have been whispers and rumors about Chris Paul wanting to play with Carmelo Anthony. You know, Carmelo Anthony, as you know, coming from his people, wants to play, either be in the Lakers, be with either the Lakers, Miami, or Houston, as if he has a choice right now at this point in his career, the way it ended in Oklahoma City. Listen, that year in Oklahoma City was a bad look for him, and it really exposed him in terms of where he's at right now, in terms of his career. You're playing alongside a franchise player in Russell Westbrook, all-star, and another all-star in terms of Paul George, and you can't fit into what, you know, and you can't play off that. If you can't play off those two players and be effective with playing with those two players, then you're just not going to be effective. Then you're not just going to be effective at all. I don't want to hear about the system didn't fit him. I don't want to hear about the coaching. I don't want to hear about anything. He had every opportunity to succeed with OKC. He was getting open jump shots, was getting plenty of minutes in terms of playing time. You know, he just can't play anymore. It's just that simple. He's just not an effective player at that level anymore, to where he can play where you want to play him 30, 35 minutes, and where you want him even in your crunch time lineup, for that matter. So, to me, Carmelo would have to earn crunch time minutes. He's not going to be in my finishing lineup moving in the fourth quarter unless he earns those minutes. And right now, where he's at defensively, and not be able to, you know, make a jump shot, then, you know, he's not worth the aggravation. Even at the veteran's minimum, he's not worth it. He's not a guy that's going to help out young players. He's not a guy that's going to he couldn't guard a statue dipped in concrete. He is a guy, to me, he is a cancer on the team right now. I wouldn't want him anywhere near my franchise. Not anywhere near my franchise. The Lakers, and again, I don't think the Lakers. LeBron James is smart enough to know this. And LeBron's not going to do Carmelo Anthony any favors out of friendship. LeBron wants to win, wants the best chance to win with the Lakers. And LeBron James is smart enough, even though he's not the greatest general manager himself, he's smart enough to know that having Carmelo Anthony on your team is not the way to go. You're trying to win in the long run. You're trying to win a championship. Again, there's no fit that I see Carmelo Anthony with. Even Golden State. If I'm Golden State, dude, you don't defend. We can score. We don't need your offense. We don't need your offense off the bench. We need guys that are going to get dirty. We need guys that are going to defend. We need guys that are going to rebound, do all the little stuff. We got enough scoring. We have five or six legitimate scorers on our team. Okay, I mean, think about the scoring they have with their starting five, Draymond Green to a lesser extent, Livingston, Iguodala. I mean, they have six or seven legitimate scorers on that team. They don't need another scorer. They need what they need. I forgot about DeMarcus Cousins. Let's put him aside for a second. But they need guys that want to do the dirty stuff, do the little things, going to dive on the floor, chase, get loose balls, be physical. That's why they went and signed David West. David West is not a scorer anymore at this point in his career. He's a guy. He's a tough guy. So that's not a role that Carmelo Anthony is going to fill. He's not going to be a guy that's going to do the little things. Again, he still thinks he is Carmelo Anthony. He still thinks he's Melo. He has not transitioned to Carmelo Anthony. Still thinks he's Melo, if that makes sense. And who would think And watching Power this past couple episodes, that Lala, his ex, would be in a better place in terms of her career than he is in terms of his career. Like Lala has a starring role on Power, and dude, you have nobody that wants you right now, and you coming off a year, coming off the worst year of your career. I never would have thought that Lala would be ahead of Carmelo Anthony. So out of that battle, Lala's winning that battle without question, as far as Lala versus Carmelo Anthony. But again, I wouldn't want Carmelo Anthony anywhere near my team. I think that somebody will pick him up, and it will be a big mistake. It'll be a huge mistake for anybody to pick him up. So we'll see what happens with that. I have not watched any of the summer league, minimal any of the summer league. I watched Lonzo Ball last summer with it. In terms of, I was just wanted to see what all, just wanted to watch him play, see how he adapted somewhat to the NBA game. I can't get into summer league. I just can't. Even in the summertime when there's nothing on but baseball. And obviously you have the World Cup, but most of these games are at night. I can't. A lot of some of these games are at night. They have some day games as well. I cannot get into the summer league basketball. I just can't. I can't. And I love basketball. I've loved basketball for over 30 plus years. I've been whether it's playing on in high school and elementary school and what have you in rec leagues, or whether it's watching the game as long as I've watched it. But I just cannot. I can't do the summer league. So I understand. I see some highlights from here and there. I understand that DeAndre Ayton and Bagley have played well. Trae Young got into it with Grayson Allen. So that if that's something that you're into, then God bless you. Because I can't do it with the summer league. So in terms of locally, as we approach the All-Star break, of course, everybody knows that the DMV, Washington, will be hosting, the district will be hosting the All-Star game. And it seemed like they've had the All-Star game for like the last 5 years. Like every year, it'd be like, oh, Washington will be in the All-Star game. Oh, it's not until 2019. Oh, Washington's hosting the All-Star game. Oh, it's not until 2018. So finally, 2018 is here, and the Washington Nationals will be hosting, will be Nationals ball at Nationals Park. Be hosting the All-Star game, and they go in. Hope they go in. Hopefully they can go in cutting this lead to cutting into the Atlanta Braves lead. Right now, they were last time I checked, they were 5.5 out. That could have went up to 6, depending on where Atlanta. I think Atlanta didn't play today, so right now they are 5.5 games out. They are behind the Atlanta Braves, as well as the Philadelphia Phillies, who I believe split their doubleheader against the New York Mets. I believe Philadelphia split that doubleheader. I did the first game at series where they lost on a walk-off home run, but I think they won game 2, 3-1. I could check that real quick. But anyway, they are 5 games behind the Atlanta Braves, and if not for that 3 out of 4 against Miami, they would be in a hole, not a ditch, a hole. It kind of stabilized things, especially with that wild 9-0 comeback on Thursday, last Thursday. They were down 9-0. Trey Turner had a big game. You saw Mark Reynolds had a big game on Saturday. I believe on Saturday he had a 10 RBI game. Trey Turner had like an 8 RBI game. So they kind of started scoring some runs a bit. But I'm still in the place where, and I thought about this over the weekend with the Nationals. I think the Nationals need to shake things up, and they need to do either one or two things. They need to either trade for Machado or trade Bryce Harper. One of those two things needs to happen, if not both. They need this team needs a just they need a proverbial kick in the ass. They really do. Now again, I understand they got some guys injured. Strasburg, a couple other guys, I get it. Knows that Strasburg is when healthy is an all-star caliber pitcher and a top pitcher. I get it, but I just sometimes your team needs a shake up. And they need a kick in the arm. We saw, a couple years ago, I remember this stood out. And we saw that we've seen this twice now in the last couple of years with teams making trade deadline, making trades at the deadline and getting them to a World Series. Verlander, what Verlander did for Houston, what Cespedes did for the Mets in 2015. Now, I think the Cespedes move is closer because Houston was going to go to the playoffs last year regardless. Cespedes with the Mets, the Mets don't make that move in 2015. Cespedes, the Mets probably don't make the playoffs, let alone the World Series. That's how big that move was. He was one of the best players in baseball in that second half of the season and was a clutch, was money during the postseason. He just played great all around. And I think getting Machado here, I think would be a shot in the arm for the team, for the city, for the baseball fans. I know you're still kind of high off the Stanley Cup in regards to the Capitals, but I think that would be a move for the Nationals to make. I think they have to do something to shake this team up. I don't think the status quo is going to be good enough. Because like I said, I'm waiting for Atlanta. Atlanta just won't fall off. Like Atlanta, I've been surprised by how well Atlanta's played. Philadelphia, I told you, and I've said this many a times on this podcast, Philadelphia is not going anywhere. They're going to be in it for the long haul. They could trade for Machado possibly, even though I think they're probably going to try to sign him in the offseason because they have a bunch of money. They have a bunch of money coming off the books, and they have money that, you know, they have money to play with here as far as free agency goes. So I don't expect Philly to make a move for him. You have rumors about Machado in regards to Yankees having some interest. So you're gonna have Dodgers, Yankees, Phillies, teams like that are gonna have interest in Machado, maybe some others that I'm not currently mentioning. But the bottom line to me is the Nationals need to go after Machado and bring in a guy. And listen, if you gotta give up some prospects, give up some prospects. I don't want to hear about how great the farm system is and how untouchable this guy is, how untouchable that guy is. You're getting a guy who has a chance, who is one of the top five, maybe top three players in all of baseball, and Manny Machado. And you can have to jump on other teams in terms of keeping him. Like you can build around him as being one of the faces of the franchise. And possibly, you know, if you were to trade Bryce Harper, the face of the franchise. So that's why, and again, so with that being said, they need to trade Bryce Harper as well. Because if I trade Bryce Harper, a couple things happen. Number one, if I trade Bryce Harper, I can recoup some of the prospects that I would have given up to get Machado. That's number one. Two, get Machado. And three, I can sell Machado on, we are going to build this franchise around you being the face of it. We're going to pay you like we might have paid. We're going to pay you, you know, $350 million. You will be the highest paid baseball player maybe of all time. We're going to give you in excess of $300 million. You will be the face of this franchise moving forward. We're in the postseason every year. You played in Baltimore, so you're familiar with the area, with the Beltway, DMV area. So to me, it'll be a perfect fit. I could sell Machado on being a Washington National. I feel like I really could sell him on that. And I think that's the move that the Nationals need to make. I don't think this status quo thing is going to work out. Like, there are certain teams that just can't stand pat and be status quo. The Yankees could stand pat somewhat and be status quo. Boston, Houston, some of those teams could stand. And I'm telling you, those teams are going to be aggressive. And the Yankees, we know the Yankees are going to be aggressive. We know the Red Sox, they're basically in the arms race. They're going to be aggressive, okay? Houston has shown you with Verlander last year. So those teams, Cleveland, those teams with great farm systems and who are loaded with talent, they are going to be aggressive. The Dodgers are going to be aggressive. The elephant in the room as far as the trade deadline goes, that people should be, that you are going to start to hear about more if you haven't heard about already, is Madison Bumgarner. Now, the Giants have played great baseball considering the injuries. They had lost three of their top pitchers at the beginning of the year with Cueto, Bumgarner, Cueto, and Samardzija. They've had a couple other injuries here and there, but they've played. They've kept their heads above water. They came into this today 4.5 out. So they're still in the mix. They're still in the mix for a wild card for one of the wild card spots. So the Giants actually have played pretty well, considering the circumstances. So with that being said, if you're the Giants, Do you move Madison Bumgarner, considering what you could get for him? Considering what you can get for him, there. I mean, he is a again. We just talked. He's a guy who is one of the top pitchers in baseball when healthy. He is one of the great postseason pitchers of all time. There are going to be teams like the Yankees, anybody calling for his services, Boston. There are going to be some teams out there that are going to be desperately. I mean, the Nationals might be a team that might need another starter, possibly. So there are going to be some teams. You can never have enough starting pitching. There are going to be a number of teams wanting that guy's services. And if you're in San Francisco, you can ask for the farm for him. You can rebuild your franchise in terms of what you might receive from making that deal to get Madison Bumgarner. I'm telling you right now, the first call I would make would be to the Yankees. So the Yankees have a loaded farm system. That would be one of the first calls I'd make if I'm the San Francisco Giants. Now, again, the Giants might feel like they can contend this year for a wild card spot. But again, I don't think the Giants are winning that division. I think the Diamondbacks and Rockies, the Diamondbacks and Dodgers are clearly better than them. Rockies are right there as well. I don't think the Giants are winning that division. So if I'm the Giants, you won three championships. Are you really fighting just to be a wild card? Do you really think in being a wild card that you have a chance to win a championship? Now, if you have a chance to win a championship, then I'll keep him because he's still under contract. He's not going to be a free agent in the offseason. So he'll still be under contract for another year. So I'll keep him from that standpoint. If I feel like I can get to the World Series. But if I don't feel like I can get to the World Series and I'm going to be struggling to be a wild card participant, then I'm going to move him. And now is the perfect time to move him. He's actually pitched well since he's come back. The record doesn't reflect it, but his ERA has a pretty good ERA. So he's pitched. I think teams have seen enough to say that he's still the Madison Bumgarner who is a top pitcher in baseball when healthy. He looks healthy. That's the first thing. He looks healthy coming off the injury. He looks healthy. And again, that is a guy that, other than Machado, is going to be a guy that's going to be talked about a lot in terms of the trade deadline. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with that. Something that I took note of over the weekend, there's a player in the NFL, defensive back named Garen Conley. So Garen Conley, defensive back for the Oakland Raiders, first round draft pick in 2017, was drafted 24th by the Raiders. He got accused of rape, was cleared of all charges, and is now suing the woman that accused him of rape. He's suing her because he claims that he lost millions of dollars falling possibly from a top 10 pick to number 24. So he lost millions of dollars from that. He lost at least $5 million in terms of salary because one of the picks got $15, signed a contract for $15 million total. His contract is only came out to be like $10 million. So from that standpoint, he lost $5 million. That's not even counting endorsements that he possibly that he could have gotten without this accusation. You know what? Good for him. And you want to say, you know, somebody, devil's advocate, want to say somebody, you know, okay, he got off. He's in the NFL now. Just worry about the rest of your career and move forward. No. You're not going to be able to just stomp on my reputation and me just let it go. I mean, think about this. Somebody accuses you of rape, okay? Somebody accuses you of hurting a child. I'm trying to think of some of the worst things you could be accused of in terms of reputation. That's up there. Rape is in the top two. Maybe molesting, other than molesting a child, that'd probably be the number one thing that could destroy a reputation if you got accused of, and then it turns out that you were cleared. You know, with clear charges, a clear of that accusation. So this guy gets accused of being accused of rape. The charges were bogus. The accusation was bogus. The girl was jealous, was the girl was annoyed because he alleged he had broke up with her. So, you know, this was her way of getting back at him. So if I'm him, like, yeah, I'm gonna do something about that. I think she should get locked up. I think she should get locked up. I think that should send a message to anybody who wants to mess with, who wants to play or try to damage another person's reputation. Just think about it. You as a professional, as a person, if you're a grown man, grown woman, it's taken you years, 10, 15, 20, depending on how old you are, years to build up your reputation. And that reputation, you've built up that reputation that allows you to, you know, get jobs, that allows you to go further, to move on, to go further in life. You know, you take pride in your reputation. So somebody destroys your, somebody, you know, basically, you know, treats your reputation, disrespects your reputation with that kind of accusation, then I think they should, there should be something to, you know, quitting is one thing for you getting acquitted of charges or you file a lawsuit, but I think, you know, there should be, for that girl's case, I think she should do some jail time or some probation. Maybe not jail, not get locked up, let's say probationary time. Let's say that, where you have to do some probation or probation time, community service. There should be something that discourages anybody, female or male, of accusing another person of raping them falsely. Falsely accusing somebody of rape or any or something of that magnitude. Shouldn't be able to do. You can't do that. Like that. I mean, you can't do that. And especially in today's society, especially for men, with, you know, with the whole Me Too movement, you know, I wonder how many of these accusations in terms of are factual. Now, most of them seem to be true in terms of these celebrities because they haven't been rebutted by the person. But I'm sure there are a couple that just are not, you know, completely true. And this turned out to be one of them. I mean, this guy, again, lost millions of dollars in terms of endorsements. And that's a big deal for an NFL player who, you know, you can be out the league in 2 years in the NFL. We've seen that. NFL careers don't last long. Every dollar counts when you're playing in the NFL. It's not like the NBA. It's not like Major League Baseball where the players are getting this big money, getting these big money contracts, especially as rookie deals. I mean, rookie deals, the NFL players don't make as much as basketball players. They don't make as much as baseball players. So again, every dollar counts. So I don't blame this young man at all. Pursuing this girl, and I think she should even have, there should be even further penalties, consequences for this girl to send a message that this is the type of thing that's just not going to be tolerated. So that caught my interest over the weekend. I think that came out like Friday, something to take note of. Saw a couple movies this weekend over the past week. Sicario, Dead of Soldado, and Sorry to Bother You. So Sicario wasn't good as the first one, but I still recommend it. They're gonna make a third one, of course, because they're gonna make a third one. So I think it's gonna be a trilogy, and the third one probably be the last one. The thing that stood out about the Sicario movie was, no surprise, Benicio del Toro's performance. Benicio del Toro, who may be one of the most underrated actors of this generation. I know he has an Oscar from Traffic, one of the best supporting Oscar in Traffic. But his performance Benicio del Toro's performance in that movie, when he didn't say anything, was off the charts. And like I said, you know, acting, I'm into movies, I'm into, you know, acting and into the arts. To be able to, like, body language, eye movements, that type of stuff, that is, you know, he could have a masterclass in terms of acting from that standpoint. There were moments, again, where he didn't say a word, and he commanded the screen. You felt his presence on the screen. That is a talent. And again, there have been very few actors that I've seen in my time to be able to have command a screen without saying anything, which adds more power to when he does speak. So he does that as well as any actor that I've ever seen. They're gonna make a third one. It was pretty good. I think the first one was a classic. I think this one, you know, you could say it could have been a setup for the third one. You like action, you like stuff involving terrorism and something that you enjoyed, and that is the movie for you. The second one, Sorry to Bother You, went to see it. I saw that. Now, a lot of people, you know, this movie has been getting received, I think it had 94% on the Rotten Tomatoes. The screenplay, the writing in that was, again, tremendous. Good performances. Lakeith Stanfield was great. I'm sure he'll get a Golden Globe nomination. This movie could be in the candidacy for some Oscar buzz. I'm sure this movie will be amongst when awards ceremony comes around. They'll be talking about this movie. Now, again, there's a lot going on in this movie. I heard people say, well, just that movie, you need to see High or Drunk. No. Don't go to this movie High or Drunk, because you're gonna miss some stuff. Though this is not that type of movie. I get the premise, but this is a movie that is so layered in terms of some of the scenes, some of the writing, some of the dialogue that you had. Like this stuff, I'm gonna go see it again because I know there's some stuff that I've missed the first time. So I feel like I have to see this movie again. A very good movie. I strongly recommend it. I'm not going to say what it's about. You can find that on your own. I don't want to ruin it for anybody. But Sorry to Bother You. I definitely recommend it. Some good performances. Lakeith Stanfield was great. Some good co-star. You know, pretty strong, well-rounded cast. Amari Hardwick was in it from Power. You saw Terry Crews was in it. Tessa Thompson. So nice cast, good cast, a solid cast. But again, Lakeith Stanfield had more than held his own as in terms of his first leading role. In terms of the plot, you can find that out on your own. I don't want to spoil it or ruin it for anybody. But I do recommend going to see that. So Sicario and Sorry to Bother You. As far as Power last night, thought it was a ho-hum episode, a setup episode to things that are going to happen. Everybody seems to be, you know, scrambling. Everybody seems to be, you know, in some type of mess. Tommy is just that dude who just can't. He is the definition of can't get right. Tommy, man, Tommy's in some stuff. So I will. Again, I hope that. The thing I hope about this season is I don't want to be able to see what's coming. Like the kind of telegraphing the Kanan Tasha conflict, that's kind of being telegraphed. There are a lot of people, you know, now again, some of the theories, man, some of y'all on the internet is just, ooh, some of these theories, you know, Kanan is the father of Tyreek. Though I did see one good one that actually made sense about Kanan being, I would not be surprised if Kanan was Tyreek's father. I really would not be surprised, but I saw some couple of theories. Again, a lot of people will think that Tasha's going to kill Kanan. I don't, you know, I know I made that prediction. I don't think so. I got to give Courtney Kemp some credit as far as saying that. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's too predictable. I heard a couple, and I did hear this today. I heard a couple of people thinking that Tommy is going to die. I thought Tommy was going to die last season, so I don't know. Dre is going to die. I think Dre is gone. They started showing his warts and showing some of his, you know, he's not cut out to be a leader. You saw what happened last night. I think Dre is going to go. I still want to see how they use Tyreek and how Tyreek is, you know, is Tyreek going to kill somebody else? Is Tyreek going to, you know, go against Ghost and Tasha as far as hanging with Kanan? So that, you know, that will play out. But again, that was compared to the first episode. This episode was horrible compared to the first episode. But again, I every episode can't be this. Oh my goodness, you gotta have some setup. You have to have episodes like this that set up storylines and things of that nature. So just you have the Proctor stuff with Angela, Rashad Tate. We see his agenda, even though I think it's even deeper than that. I think it's more than him just wanting to be governor. I think Tate has some criminal. I think he has some criminal secrets in his closet that we don't know about. Still, we haven't heard it from. We haven't seen his corner boy Alphonse. So that guy he still hasn't appeared. So I expect to see him later on in the season. There's no shocker that Kanan had his own agenda as far as wanting to take over Tommy's business. So that's not a surprise. So we knew Kanan and Tommy were going to have some type of conflict, considering that who Kanan is and who, just two personnel, two alpha males. It can only be one, but Tommy has himself in a boatload of just, trouble as far as what can possibly go wrong with this. I'll be interested to see how he gets out of it. So, Power, it was okay. You'll see what happens in episode three, what happens with next week's episode. Of course, you have Snowfall coming next week. I think it's the 19th, and I'm looking forward to that. I can't wait for Snowfall. That's one of the, that's one of the quietly kept great shows on television as well. So we'll see what happens with that. Didn't get to see HBO premiere the show last night, Sharp Objects. Didn't get a chance to check that out. It's supposed to be, from the creators of Big Little Lies. So I don't think you can reenact Big Little Lies. I think Big Little Lies stands on its own in terms of what it was able to do last season. It was a great show. But so that's something to check out as far as some summer viewing. Again, I can't wait for Snowfall to premiere. Of course, we began the program talking about the end, in my eyes, of the San Antonio Spurs. I think the Spurs are finished in terms of being a title contender. I think the Spurs, with Tony Parker going to Charlotte, I can see Ginobili and Popovich retiring after this year. They're going to lose Kawhi Leonard either, off season or either through trade or in the off season. They're going to lose Kawhi Leonard. So I think this is the end for the San Antonio Spurs. I think this is the end for the San Antonio Spurs as we know them. Again, one of the most consistent franchises in the history of professional sports, of the four major sports, without questioning. I think it's over for them. We'll see what happens with Kawhi Leonard. I can see Popovich leaving after next year. I can see Manu Ginobili retiring. I can see them trading LaMarcus Aldridge. So I think they're going to completely break that up. And again, it's hard to rebuild in the NBA. And we'll see how it'll be very intriguing to see how long they're down, because it is hard. I mean, hard to rebuild in the NBA. Harder to rebuild in the NBA, I think, than any other sport. We've seen the championship droughts of the Lakers and Celtics. Celtics, go 22 years without a championship. The Lakers go 12 years without a championship, despite those two franchises being responsible basically for half the league's titles. It is very difficult to rebuild in the NBA. One thing I wanted to bring up, a couple things. Number one, Laker fans, stop with this LeBron nonsense in terms of, defacing his mural and please, just enough already. You have the best player in the world. You have not voted by me. I voted Durant the best player in the world at the end of the season, for the record. But you have a guy who's universally regarded as the best player in the world after years of failing to get top free agents. Okay, he wants to be here. He wants to, he wants to win a championship here. I don't care about the business ventures. That's his business. I know that's a part of the deal. But as far as basketball wise, you got the big fish. Okay, this is him being here has nothing to do, has zero effect on Kobe's Laker legacy. Kobe's Laker legacy is intact. Kobe is at worst the second greatest Laker of all time. I think Magic. I have to put Magic ahead of him. One and one A. Enough already. Laker fans, don't pull moves that Sacramento fans will pull. This is a Sacramento King move. or a New York Knicks move. You're bigger than that. You are the fan of a team that has won 16 championships and could be in line to win some more if the right moves are made. So this is beneath you to pull this. You know, enough already with that. Again, we're not Knicks fans. We're not Sacramento King fans. We are Los Angeles Lakers fans. That is NBA royalty. Last thing I'll say before I let you go, we're doing some big things on this podcast. We are going to, again, we tried some on the road shows last year. They did not work out as I thought they would. We're going to do that again. We're going to do some on the road shows. We're also expanding the podcast. I'll give you some more details as I get information, as things start to happen and come about. We're taking this podcast to a whole nother level. I appreciate all the support from the viewing audience, from Blog Talk Radio, Instagram, everybody. But we are going to make this the best possible podcast moving forward. So that's all I'm going to end on that note. Have a great, great early morning and Tuesday. I'm out.